Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
I believe what happened on Friday night, I'm going to share a little bit about it. We'll try to at some point put the audio online. We may have a video. I'll see about the quality, but I believe although the word was for Krista and I, it was for us as a house. And it's a word that is not a new word, which is exciting. It's a word that was a confirmation yet again of what God wants this house to be. And that's what excites me. So why don't you grab your Bibles? I encourage you, even better yet, if you have your phones and you don't have the Bible app, I'd love for you to get it so you can read along. It's the Holy Bible. It actually, the app looks like a little Bible. A lot of people have that. It's one of the first ones that came out. Did you guys ever hear that story? It's from Craig Groeschel's church, and they wanted to do something with websites, but it just wasn't working out. So this one guy, this is going back now, he said, hey, you know, Apple's just about to launch these things called apps. And the guy was pretty smart. He says, I think I can make an app, and who knows, maybe some people will, you know, will look at it. And so this kid went about making this app, this Bible app, and they launched it. And I think they launched it on a Friday, and nobody was really looking into it. They weren't thinking much of it. And by Monday, I think there was something like 100,000 downloads or something ridiculous. And they went, oh my goodness, this is like serious. It was free. They weren't there to make money. They wanted to get the word into people's hands. And I don't know how many millions or multi-millions it's been downloaded. What I love about it is, too, you can get multiple versions, and we're going to use that today. But turn to Isaiah 58:12. And we will read, I'll start with the New King James Version. When I was, Krista and I were, Krista, if you don't know, is my wife. She was up here doing the announcements. When we were pre-children but married, we had a chance to go to Tamara Winslow's Institute. It was really just a Bible Institute for a month, a solid month of training. And I never went away to Bible school. I went away to university, and I didn't go away. I went to university. I have my human kinetics degree, and you wonder sometimes, God, why did you have me do that? But I know I can see the streams throughout my life of why. But we wanted to go and just get some time with the Lord. And I remember one day, she read the scripture, Isaiah 58:12, and we had already been involved in youth ministry for a while, but I remember this scripture, it's hard to describe if you've never had it happen. It's like, whether you call it a punch in the gut or just like it hits you. Anybody ever have a scripture like that? It just jumps off the page. And you know, you're not sure why, and Karen, just a remarkable job with the word you brought, but you were sharing like how you open the word and this revelation starts falling. It's just these God moments. And when I read this, I knew that was going to be somehow part of my life, our lives. Isaiah 58:12 says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. And that was the scripture that just jumped out at me. And while we were there, you know, we were still like, as a church, I think of how many transitions we've made, you know, from a Catholic denomination coming into, from a mainline into the charismatic renewal where you started to know about the Holy Spirit, and just change after change, you know, a journey that we've been on. And for me, when I was in Colorado at this institute, as much as I love the Lord and you know, tried to hear his voice, devotions and hearing God's voice was still kind of a works mentality. And I remember the one day, and I've shared this before, where she said to us, we had an assignment to go and hear God and come back and share. Scared the living daylights. I am already functioning as a youth pastor, and this was freaky and scary to me. I felt like an assignment that I could fail. And I'm serious. I was scared and I was worried. And I'm like, what if I miss it? And there was such a works mentality. I had no clue that was there. Now I look at it, I'm like, that was so silly. But at the time, I thought, I like, you know, in my mind, like, am I going to get kicked out if I don't hear it properly? And And I remember at the end, she said this. She said, "And if you don't hear anything, that's okay." And I went, "Is that really okay? Like, that to me is a fail. Like, is that okay?" And so I remember, I can't remember what came first. I think I was sitting and I got something really simple. Like, it was just so simple. No, sorry, I know what it was. I put on headphones with a Walkman. So it tells you how long ago it was. And I had a song on. And I remember this freedom of, I don't actually have to get anything, came over me. Like, it's okay just to be with God and not get anything. And I remember from that moment, this works mentality began to break. And it says in Isaiah 58:12, it says, restoring the streets to dwell in. And I knew that that was part of this journey, that the streets that we dwell in is our relationship with the Lord and how we walk with him. And that began to be restored from where I grew up in Catholicism, that was a works mentality, into this freedom. And we've been on that journey ever since. And Steve and his team just came to, again, pour into that journey for us. And I love it. I remember going back and with Tamara and being like, I don't have to share. I actually ended up getting something from God that was, to me, really like simple, but wow, I actually got something. And for the rest of the month, I went for walks with God. You know, that sounds weird. Did God hold my hand? No, not like that. But I would just walk and talk with God. And sometimes I heard, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I look at the mountains. Sometimes I'd just be in awe of nature. Sometimes he would share something in my heart. It wasn't his voice. It was just something I went, okay, that's God. That's not me. I wouldn't think like that. And that's the beauty of it. So on Friday night, at the very end, and if you have a chance, we'll put it online. Dan, they each shared a little bit, but Dan shared the majority of it. And Dan is just a fun guy. He's prophetic. He does prison ministry. He's got a lot of energy, right? If you're here, does he have a lot of energy? Yeah. A lot of energy. And but I believe even as I'm thinking about, so let me fast forward and then I'll come back and then I'll fast forward again. So the word over us was a lot, but it had to do with, one of the words was about we would be repairers of churches. Repairers of churches. What an honor that people would come to us and we would go to them to help begin to repair what has been not a God system, not a grace system. Like, can you believe we would get to do that? Anyway. But then I realized the whole time he's sharing about prison break. And he's sharing stories of prisoners coming in being set free. So we get to repair, and people are going to come in that need to be set free. And here he is, I realized, sharing stories about prisoners being set free. And remarkable freedom, like coming over prisoners, like hardcore, you know, I shouldn't say hardcore because it was minimum and max, no, minimum and medium security. That's enough for me, right? That's that, you know, some of them are 30, 40 years in there, but getting free in Jesus. So today, as I share, I want to put forth to you that if one thing would break in my lifetime, you know what I'd love to break? Is that we get up and go to church. If we could break that thing, because we don't get up to go to church. Yes, we call this church. We get up to go do ministry. We get up to come and worship the King together. But really, in the end, we get up to come and be prepared for whatever God has. And one thing that Steve has really taught me over the course of knowing him, especially this weekend as we talked a lot, and especially what we've gone through, he kept reiterating to me, you hear what God wants you to do, but you have to give the outcome to him. Yeah, it's been kind of like, the more I think about it, because the more I realize that I hear something and I attach my outcome to it, what I think it looks like, how I think it's going to happen. And he says, I have had to learn that I hear the voice of the Lord, I obey, and I let him be the outcome. And as a church, as a body of believers, we have to grab a hold of that to go, okay, look at the word. Because right away you can think, you know, this place is going to have so many people in it, and the doors are going to bust open, and we're going to, you know, whatever it is we think. But it's like, maybe that's not what it's going to look like. It may not. It could be one at a time. Could be five at a time. Could be 100 at a time. I don't know. All I know is that I got to give the outcome to him, but grab a hold of what he's saying we're going to do. Amen. Right? And as we began to share our different circumstances and, you know, of course, like our outcome for different scenarios that we've had that we've been very heartbroken over, it's like, Lord, I expected a different scenario, and yet I have to go, Lord, I don't understand, but I still got to believe. I think we've all had a bit of wrestle over the last little while. So what does God do? He brings this team in to go, hey, I just want to remind you. Because that's really what it was. I want to remind you of the calling on your life and this house. Amen? So what I say is I don't want you waking up going to church. I want us to wake up to go, I'm on assignment and I need to be there because I have a part to play. This whole, I think we've done, God's been changing our culture that it's not a one, two-man show. It's an all of us, let's get to work. Because you guys have, each of you, skills and personalities and abilities to meet and connect with people that I never could, nor could I have the time for. I watch you minister to people and I'm like, look what is happening. Oh my gosh, look at over there. Look at over there. People are being connected with, people are being ministered to. And I think this is gonna exponentially increase because God is building a place for us to both be safe and to trust. Safe meaning, I know our people and I trust our people and our people can minister so well. And I'm so thankful I don't have to minister to everyone because they're here. But when you're not, there's actually a gap. When you don't worship, there's actually a gap. Like that's why sometimes you wonder, do I just like you to sing and make noise in the room? No, we can feel it up here. It's hard to even explain, like we're pushing to try to worship, but when people start to worship, it's like we join together and this beautiful thing happens. So that's why sometimes I'm like, hey, encourage your neighbor. I know we're going through a tough time. Pray for your neighbor. Let's come on, let's clap. Like, and we have to become so good that we're like, we know what to do when it's rough or tough or hard. We know we worship. Because people are gonna come in. And if we just go, well, I don't really feel like it today, we could miss what God wants to do with that person. Because it's not about me. It's not about my mom. It's not about Claude. It's not about Rod. It's about us. Amen. You following me? Okay. So turn to Zechariah. You know, I'm not sure that I had ever read past Zechariah 4, the first part of it, because we all quote this. We all quote actually only one part of it. If you are using the Bible app, go to the Amplified version. If you're going in your Bibles, just go to Zechariah 4. Actually, we're going to go to Zechariah 6 first and then 7. Sorry, Zechariah 4, verse 6 and 7. I only have verse 7. My apologies. Zechariah 4, verse 6 and 7. So this is what we know, right? So he answered and said to them, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You've probably heard this before. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. How many have ever quoted that? How many have ever read that somewhere? Like it's one of the verses that we begin to understand. Listen, it's not by the works that we do. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, let me share this with you. We were talking yesterday. He dropped some things. And I'm like, we got to hear this, you know. Because sometimes we can get frustrated when we pray. And I believe it's always good to pray to see a miracle happen. But he was with a young man who is really beginning to hear the Lord. And so he's been kind of stretching him when they go out to speak. And so he'd say, I want you to pray. And he would get words of knowledge. And he said this, kind of funny. It's two stories in one because the gentleman was debating whether he should do something. And he said, Lord, if I get seven and miracles happen, I will do it. he was kind of, he didn't want to do it. That's the story. He didn't really want to do it. So he thought, if I say seven, God, probably seven things won't happen. So he would have words of knowledge. He would call someone out. There's somebody here that has this. The person would stand up. He even got to the point, this name, this thing. And they would get healed. And he got to six people. All six got healed. He said, is there a Marvin in the room? Nobody stood up. So in his mind, he's like, yes. And then an older man goes, my middle name's Marvin. And he's like, oh, because he called out the name and what the symptom was. And he's like, my middle name's Marvin, and I have that symptom. He's like, well, like, come on up. Prayed for him, and he got healed. Amazing. So he had to actually go and do what God was telling him to do. The point was this, though. He did it seven times. And then afterwards, he would try to pray for people, and nobody would get healed. But every time he had a word of knowledge, they would get healed. So his point again was to go, we need to learn to follow the voice of the Lord. Amen. And so I'm like, Lord, help us to, I always want to pray for people. But certainly when we hear the voice of the Lord to go, okay, Lord, we got to do something with that. Amen? All right, so we know the scripture verse, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But then this verse, it says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. So listen, this is the Amplified. What are you, O great mountain, or in brackets, of obstacles? Like, what are you, obstacles? That's what he's saying. What are you, mountain, you obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who will rebuild the temple? What did the Lord say we were going to do? Repair the church. That the churches, and I know you guys, like, if we just go to this church, you don't realize, like, the grace that we have here and the ability to pray for each other and the ability for you to be equipped is not all everywhere. And so when you have people that come to this gathering that are Reformed, they've just come out of the Reformed denomination, and you listen to them, you're like, oh, I forgot how much God has done. I forgot the liberty that we have, the freedom to worship, like experience Maybe you've forgotten, maybe you've never experienced it, but there are people that have never experienced the freedom of the Lord and the Spirit of God. And then you hear these stories of this young man who he calls himself now a reformed, a reformer with a Pentecostal bent or a charismatic bent, because he's experiencing the first time. So they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, the reform. So he grew up never believing that, like, that was, they believe in the Holy Spirit, but that he's not active today. And so he was on a mission trip and didn't, you know, that's how he grew up, didn't believe it, but he heard this gentleman speaking to another gentleman in this gentleman's foreign tongue, like that he knew the language, but this gentleman didn't. So he's just listening and it's all gibberish to them. And all of a sudden he could understand and he could hear what they were saying. And he was like, what? And he knew they were still speaking the language. So he knew he had interpretation of tongues basically. And then he went, uh-oh, the Holy Spirit might be real and active. And that began to mess him up. Because now he had to go, what do I do with this? Steve works with another gentleman that, same thing, didn't believe you could hear the voice of the Lord. And he was preaching one day and began to hear the voice of the Lord. And the voice was trying to guide him. And he was kind of like, almost like, get behind me, thee Satan. And then he realized, this is God. Because he tried it, and I can't remember the story of what happened, but God did something. Well, you know, it sounds like everybody get excited about that. Nope, he got fired. So what we don't realize is there is some restoration that needs to happen. So he says, what are you, O great mountain of obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who will rebuild the temple? You will become a plain, or in the Amplified, it says, you will become insignificant. And he will bring out the capstone of the new temple. You know, the capstone is what they put the date often on. With loud shouts of grace, grace. What we want to see here is that we would have loud shouts in this house of grace, grace. And Dan did a wonderful job of preaching what that looks like. Grace, grace doesn't mean you go do whatever you want. Grace, grace means I am saved by grace. And the title of my message, and Karen, it was funny because I had this word already, but I titled it Beautifully Broken. And you touched on that, that the reality is we are all broken in some way, shape, or form. If you don't think you have some errors or mistakes, ask your wife or husband. They'll be happy to help you out. Don't get too excited, Bruce. You excited for your own problems or hers? Okay, good, that's fair. But what I've come to realize, the problem in the church is so often is that we, so here's my point, that God wants to use us to build people. And you were talking about how when we go through these things, the death of Glenn, what God has done in you becomes a testimony that other people can glean off of and learn from and grow from. But here's what the church so often does. We dress up in our best clothing, not us anymore, but that's often the thing, you know, ties and shirts, and we act so great at church, and we hide all the yuck because we're afraid of what people think. Instead of going, I need help. I need the grace and power of God, not by might, not by power. What did I say? Not by might, not by power, but my spirit. I need the spirit of God to come in and begin to work through me. But if I never mention it to anyone, I never am free enough to say it, then we stay in our yuck. The other thing is nobody knows our testimony. Once I was, but now I am, that could be you too. But the problem is we think we should all be finished, but we're all in process. All of us are in process. Because as soon as you get one thing and God works with you, by the way, he's gonna show you another thing. Oh, I'm so thankful I've got that out of my way. Lord, thank you. And then you drive and you're honking your horn at somebody because they're not going fast enough. He's like, oh, maybe we should deal with that rage. What? Another thing? Oh, just wait. We were singing this song today, Graves into Gardens, and verse 3 said this, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Amen. See, what we don't realize is that's grace. That we understand that although we have these challenges still, he still calls us friend. Why does he call us friend? Because we received what he did on the cross for us, because we never could. We could never live the life that we need to. So he says, listen, I'm going to go to the cross and become the sacrifice to make you righteous. And that's the revelation that we need greater and greater. Because so often people will walk through the door and they have no understanding of the grace of God and the righteousness of God. You guys are looking at me like I'm speaking another language. You do realize that you're righteous because of Christ, right? Yes. But do you live like you're righteous? Meaning that you can come and worship in his righteousness. Oh, but you don't know what's going on. Well, you don't know what's going on in me. We don't have to share all our junk, but we certainly have to be able to go, yeah, I'm struggling, but I don't come in my struggles to worship. I come in my righteousness to worship. Like if I live back here all the time, then I'm not living in the righteousness. And it says you can't re-crucify Christ. He's been crucified once for our righteousness. So we step into that righteousness and go, Lord, I'm going to live in this righteousness and you're going to continue to work through me. Amen? All right. Turn your Bibles now to Isaiah 53. Let's start there. So just as you're flipping, what the gist of it was, a couple major things in the word that he gave over us. One of the words that he gave, they both fit so well, was that, what's his name? The young guy that came, Preston. Preston came as a sign for us to say that, because he went to Asbury where God broke out. And God told him to go. It's a really cool story. I'm not going to share it. I don't have time. But he basically had to listen to the voice of the Lord. It was a journey for him. He just had a trust. but he had to go there, and he said that very thing that broke out there, God wants to do here. Now, again, outcomes. God wants to break out. We don't know what it looks like, right? So we immediately begin to go, oh, he wants to do that here. No, he wants to break out here. I don't know what it's going to look like here, but he wants to break out here. And he wants to have people like Preston that will come for it. And people will come because they want to get into the stream of God and get healed and restored and all that. Do we want that? So as a church, do we want to be people that, see, this is the thing. As a staff, we can go yes and amen. But this weekend reminded me that we're not ready yet to host people. Because, you know, we had the people in, and I quickly realized, oh my goodness, there's so many things that we're not ready for with the cleaning and all that. And what it's going to take is people that go, yes, I'm here. You know, whatever it takes, I will. Because here's the reality of it. It takes vacuuming, cleaning, and toilets and garbages, and it takes all that. It also takes prayer and ministry. It's the whole shebang, right? So he wants to do that here. And the other thing he talked about was the repair, that we would be people that would repair. And I believe what that means, it's not just repairing churches and religion, it's repairing people. Because people are broken, beautifully broken. But what we're going to read about is we're going to read about a Savior that was beautifully broken for us. So we don't have to stay broken, but we are all in process. Amen? So Isaiah 53, let's pick it up at verse 3. This is New King James first. It says, he is despised and rejected by men. He is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, you've probably read that if you've been in the church for a long time and understand that. But what I'd like to do is just go to an easier translation. So if you have the Bible app, this is where it really helps. Go to the Passion Translation. If you don't, I will read it for you. We're going to change to the Passage Translation. What did I say? Passage, yes. It's a passage in the Passion. Okay, we're going to start at verse 1 now. Who has truly believed our revelation? I love that. We want to be the people that believe the revelation. To whom will Yahweh, or God, reveal his mighty arm? He sprouted up like a tender plant before the Lord, like a root in parched soil. What I love about that, if you look at it, it's literally a root that shouldn't be taking hold. It's dry ground. And I go back to, so often people, throughout the whole 2 days that they had the conference, people were like, why is your church in the middle of nowhere? Like, they were literally, one of them was like, I was trying to follow Google, and I was sure that I was lost. Until all of a sudden I drove up, and I'm like, oh, here's the church. And he kept saying, God has placed you in this place. It doesn't make any sense. Like, the outcome, we're like, okay, we could move and be somewhere better, right? Let's pick up the building and put it where there's more people. But for some reason, God has us here. We know that. So I felt like when I read that, I'm like, we're kind of like that root, right? In parched land, but we're taking root. We're taking hold of what God wants. He possessed no distinguishable, and now they're talking about the Lord. He possessed no distinguishing beauty or outward splendor to catch her attention. Nothing special in his appearance to make us desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. So what I'm about to read is all for you and me. That's the revelation we need. This was for us to be free. This is what he went through for us to be free. Let me put it in other terms. I never thought about it this way before, and I'm, you know, I probably should, because I'm really thankful I live in Canada. I don't know what it would be like to grow up in the Netherlands. But I realized that my grandparents paid a price that I didn't pay. They paid to sell everything, leave all their family, get on a boat, come to a foreign nation where they didn't understand the language, take up menial jobs to try to pay the rent so their grandchildren could be in a free nation. Not that the Netherlands isn't, but there was reason why they left, to have a greater place here. So here I am as a grandchild living in this freedom that I never did anything for, and I never once thought about thanking them for that. I never thought about it that way. And you paid a price a little different because you were younger, but it was still a price leaving everybody. But I'm another gen, my kids are another generation. You know, my kids, so by my age, I've gone on more vacations than my parents, and my kids at their age have gone on almost more vacations than us at their age. Like, the blessings have just been increasing. Why? Because somebody else paid a price for us. Right? So we're going to listen to this, and it's going to be, this is the price that he paid for our salvation, but do we grasp it? He was despised and rejected by men. Just right there. Despised and rejected by men. A man of deep sorrows, who is no stranger to suffering and grief. He hid our we hid our faces from him in disgust and considered him a nobody. This is the Son of God. But they considered, and we did in our own time too, considered him nobody. Not worthy of respect, yet he was the one who carried our sickness and endured the torment of sufferings. We viewed him as one who was being punished for something he himself had done, as one who struck down by God and brought low. We viewed him maybe, oh, he deserved it. Like, he deserved all that he was going through. But it was because of our rebellious deeds, and this is for all eternity, our rebellious deeds, that he was pierced, and because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole. In his wounding, we found our healing. That deserves a shout. Come on. And what God wants to do is make that so real to us that when people walk through the door that are broken, just like us, but maybe a little more broken, maybe haven't started the process yet, he wants us to know it so well that they walk through the door and we begin the journey to see them healed. And what do you think he would be more excited about? That we come and keep our little kumbaya gang and make sure nobody ruffles our feathers, and we just come and worship and we're so excited that we can worship. Or he goes, will you be a place where people can come and let my presence be a habitation that they can come and get healed? So when we stand before him, he's going to be like, oh, I'm so thankful that you guys got together every Sunday in a little room and worship me. That's great. But I think the call of God is, thank you for saying yes, that people could come in and be healed. From the youngest to the oldest, they can come in and go, I'm a mess. So are we. Actually, we're kind of still a mess, and we want to just love on you. We want to see you set free. I don't know who I am. We didn't know who we were either, but man, we're going to walk with you until you understand who you are. But I have all these addictions. Oh, we had our own addictions. Maybe we still have some too, but we're going to walk with you until you get set free. And by the way, we're on a journey too. Well, I can't worship God until I'm healed. No, that's actually a lie. Because as soon as you say yes to the Lord and you receive what he did, you are now righteous. So you can worship from a place of righteousness, just like we all do. Well, I don't understand that. Well, we're getting a revelation on that every day deeper too. But just understand that Jesus did what you couldn't. Or we just sing Kumbaya and we go to church every Sunday. What do you want to do? Part of me that loves it, but part of me was up here. I'll be real. Part of me was like, dear God. Part of me was dear God because of the work. Part of me was dear God because of the weight. Part of me was dear God because I don't know if I'm ready. But somehow he doesn't care about that. Because not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. So he wants to make us strong in his spirit to do it through us. So if you're there going, I don't know what I could do. It's the spirit of the Lord that will help all of us figure that out. Continuing, like wayward sheep, we have all wandered astray. Each of us has turned from God's path and chosen our own way. Even so, Yahweh, God, laid the guilt of every sin upon him. He was oppressed and harshly mistreated. He humbly submitted, refusing to defend himself. He was like a gentle lamb to be slaughtered, like a silent sheep before his shears. He didn't even open his mouth. By coercion and with a perversion of justice, he was taken away. And who could have imagined his future? He was cut down in the prime of his life for the rebellion of his people. He was struck down in their place. They gave him a grave among criminals, but he ended up instead in a rich man's tomb. Although he had done no violence nor spoken deceitfully, even though it pleased Yahweh to crush him with grief, he will be restored to favor. You may think, why would it please God to do that? Because he knew the price needed to be paid. And he did it to his son, of all things. After his soul becomes a guilt offering, he will gaze upon his many offspring and prolong his days. And through him, Yahweh's deepest desires will be fully accomplished. Can you imagine? Did you listen to that? God's deepest desires were accomplished through Jesus because of us. I don't know if you're getting that. Like, Father God's in heaven going, Jesus, look what we did. They're part of our family now because of what you did. Like, not because of what we did, not because of our good works, not because of what, like, even saying yes to God, we want to see them come in. It's not about that. He's like, Jesus, you did it. And they accepted it. So they're now part of the family. And we think, oh, it's so complicated. It's really not. It's like, Lord, I just submit to you that I cannot do this. That Jesus, you paid the price, I couldn't. So I receive what you did. Jesus, come into my life and restore it. And he's like, I will, because you've asked. And we begin a journey. I love that. Yahweh's deepest desires will be fully accomplished. After the great anguish of his soul, he will see light and be fully satisfied. Now listen, by knowing him, the righteous one, my servant, will make many to be righteous. Did you catch that? By knowing him, the righteous one, so us knowing him, the righteous one, my servant will make many to be righteous because he is their sin bearer carried, and because he, their sin bearer, carried away their sins. That was basically just what I said earlier. He made us righteous. So here we go. So I, Yahweh, will assign him a portion among a great multitude, and he will triumph and divide the spoils of victory among, this is cool, the Passion Translation says, among his mighty ones, all because he poured out his lifeblood to death. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you know you're a mighty one? That's a term that we've used but has never caught because we're afraid to think that we're mighty. Because we think that, well, I can't say that because I haven't established myself as a mighty one. Well, good luck, you never will. Right? But the minute you go, I am a mighty one because of what he established, we're in the same group now. Because the minute you think you got to do something, you're actually in pride, and that's not going to work either. So I realize I am a mighty one. And if God wants to do that, I say here because that's where I was standing. If he wants to do that in us and through us, it's not because of anything that we've done or how great we are. It's simply because he said, this is what I'd like to do. And we've said yes. And he was the righteous one. And we received that righteous one. And we say, Lord, have your way. You guys are really quiet today. I love that though. He would divide the spoils among the mighty ones. I know I'm reading scripture, but it's the best thing to read, right? Last thing, I want you to go to Isaiah 61 now. I'm going to read it again in the Passion Translation, but then I will close in the New King James Translation. Nope, I will, something like that. So let's start in the Passion Translation, Isaiah 61. I just, the gentleman that wrote the Passion Translation has such a beautiful way with words. Verse 1, the mighty spirit of the Lord Yahweh is wrapped around me because Yahweh has anointed me. Isn't that beautiful? A mighty spirit of the Lord Yahweh is wrapped around me because Yahweh has anointed me as a messenger to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted, to tell the captives, you are free, and to tell prisoners, be free from the darkness. I am sent to announce a new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies. But if you actually go New Testament translation, they actually leave out about the vengeance of the enemy. So we could actually say this and leave out the rest. I am sent to announce a new season of Yahweh's grace. Isn't that good? That you can actually go to people, hey, oh, I know you just told me everything about your life and how messed up it is, but I'm here to announce that there's actually a new season of grace for you. Well, how do I get that grace? Let me introduce you to my friend Jesus. That's really good, Jay. I'm gonna have to learn to encourage myself. Hey, I had to get up at 5 in the morning when he told me he couldn't come today, so you should be cheering. This is God. Not because... Wow, Jay, you got up at 5. Good for you. All right. I didn't mean it that. Well, maybe I did. Anyway. Okay, yeah, I did. Thanks, Claude. Did you really have to take on the anointing of Glenn? Yeah, you did. Okay. I am sent to announce a new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies, to comfort all who are in sorrow, to strengthen those crushed by despair who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful bouquet in the place of ashes, the oil of bliss instead of tears, and the mantle of joyous praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Church, that is us. And if we could do that for the rest of our lives, Jesus would be like, I am so excited that we would get to do that. Because listen, this is what he's about to do. He's talking about all these people that come in that are in sorrow, that are mourning, that are crushed. And it says, because of this, why? Because they've been healed and restored. They will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness, planted by Yahweh as a living display of his glory. Are you catching that? This beautiful brokenness, what he wants to do is he wants to take us, and he wants to take, because it's going to say in a minute, those from among you. So that's like this repetitive cycle. So people came in for us and helped us, and you know, we were crushed and despised, and you guys in the charismatic renewal, and myself in my own journey, and people came alongside of us, and they helped us through, and they helped us grow, and they preached, and they... all these things. And then it says, oh, those ones from among you that just went through all that, they will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness planted by Yahweh as a living display of his glory, of what he can do. And that's exactly what Karen was saying the other day. Horrific, terrible Glendine. Did not expect that. That was not, she went through that. But then one of the last things she says was, I am not the same woman today, of what God has done through that. And that's literally saying, I'm a display of God's glory. He said this, Steve, last night. He said, you know, sometimes we have to realize, and I don't comprehend all of this, but I know there's truth in it. I know it's true. I struggle still. But he's like, sometimes we have to ask the Father in these difficult moments, what is he trying to do in and through us? Even though we don't understand the mystery of it. Oh, Lord, help. But all I know is that he wants to display his glory through us. And then what does it say? They will. Who is they? Us, the ones that have been restored, the ones that have been on the journey. And that's this repetitive cycle over and over again. People come in, people get saved, people get healed, then they become the they to go and restore and to start the cycle. It says, they will restore the ruins from long ago and rebuild what was long devastated. They will renew ruined cities and desolations of past generations. Foreigners will be appointed to shepherd your many flocks. Strangers will cultivate your fields and tend your vines. You know what I think that means for me? Is like, I believe God wants to do such a work that we'll look back one day and go, you know what? Like 2 years ago, that person didn't even come to our church and they're helping with the flocks now. Like, cause we're like all hands on deck. And I think God wants to do it that quick. Over and over again, as I talk with people, and God just blew me away with connections. I'll share maybe another day, but there's this one gentleman I kind of had a desire to meet and connect with. And the whole weekend didn't seem like we were going to connect. It just never had time. And then one day I was in the foyer and he walked in and I said hello to him. And he all of a sudden had all these questions and taken him for a tour of our building. And we just right off the bat connected. What I love about it is that their church comes from a Presbyterian, I think that was right, background. So they're like coming out of religion and all these different things. And for the last, I think, 16 years, they have been learning to go after people that are far from God, but not necessarily with the Holy Spirit. So he's taken over for another gentleman who is actually world-renowned now. So he took over. This is in Barrie, Ontario. And this gentleman is really hungry for the Holy Spirit. So we get talking, he says, I want to take what we have honed of learning to go after the people that nobody, like they're far from God. And he says, now with the Holy Spirit, I want them to encounter God. And he said this. He said, Jay, I'm so excited. He said, everybody's talking about us being a post-Christian society. He says, we're not a post-Christian society. We've actually already almost worked through that. Because there are so many people that have no clue about the Bible. Like, we are through that. He says, we're actually about to enter a pre-Christian society where they're going to begin to learn about Jesus again. He says, but this is the cool thing. They don't have the baggage. They didn't come from church and the pain. They've never gone to church. And I'm like, okay, that just got me really excited to think, because everything's negative. Oh, we're post-Christian. Oh, you know, if America doesn't get saved, we're all going to die. Why don't we start going, no, look at the ripe opportunity we have, right? For people to actually come in and meet Jesus, the real Jesus, not the religion, but the real Jesus that they go, like when we all watch the Chosen, right? And we're like, okay, that's the Jesus I want to follow, right? If you don't watch The Chosen, you need to watch The Chosen. Because it's like every time, every episode, I'm like, yep, that's the guy that I want to follow. Because he just oozes love. And even when he's like harsh, there's love somehow. It's just amazing. So I want to close with this. Why don't you stand? So this is what I want you to get. So we don't come to church. I said that. We're all broken, but it's beautiful because God is beautifully restoring us. But Isaiah 61, this is what Jesus stood up and he spoke when he said, this is who I am. But by the way, Jesus left his spirit. So therefore, if the spirit of God is in us, whatever Jesus was called to do is now our assignment, right? Okay. So when he says the spirit of the Lord God is upon us because the Lord has anointed us to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness. This is our assignment. So from now on, you don't go to church, you come with your assignment. And if you miss you know, we all have reasons why we don't come at times, and that's just, that's normal. That's, I understand that. But if you're in bed and you don't want to come to church, you need to know that we're missing you. Every family member, because I believe God knits people in, and when they're not here, we feel it. I know I feel it. And I believe God has assignments for us. I say it like this. It's probably a flawed analogy, but if a doctor was gonna do surgery on me, and before he was about to do surgery, he started to tell me about how when he was in school, he decided that he just didn't need to go to class. Like he could do, he doesn't need to go to class to figure out, you know, how to do surgery. And I would be like, I'm sorry, I want somebody that actually was in class. I don't care if you had a photographic memory. I would like you to have been there to experience all those things, you know? And what I'm saying is sometimes we're like, well, I don't really need to go to church. Well, if we go to that, we're all going to heaven. We don't need to go to church. We're on assignment in church. Like, we got to change our mindset. So when we come in, we're like, well, no, I'm just doing my time. No, we are on assignment. So what are we here to do today? Who needs love? Who needs a hug? Who needs prayer? What needs to be done? What needs to be vacuumed? How do I help? We are on assignment. This is where God's called you to be on assignment. And when you leave here, guess what? You're on assignment. Because now he's called you to go to your workplace to be on assignment. And when you're at home with your family, you're on assignment. You're like, I'm getting exhausted. No, because it's the Spirit of God in you. It comes naturally. It's what we become and what we do. Amen? You following me? So, well, I just encourage you not. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to just get people to come to church. But today I'm like, we are on assignment. Man, I miss people when they're not here. And I believe something may not be happening because you're not here. And I do know this, something's not happening in you because you're not here. Now, could it happen somewhere else? Sure it can. But I believe God has knit us together. And I truly believe as good as Zoom and all that is, it is never the same. I don't believe iron can sharpen iron on YouTube. I really don't. You know, Richard and I, you know, we've become good friends. And when I listen to Richard and I will just talk, I get strengthened by our conversation. It's the same when I come to work and Rod and I will sit and we'll talk. I grow. It's the same with Stephen yesterday. It's just people that you grow. I grow from Caleb's friends coming over and I listen to them. I'm inspired by them. You can't do that off of YouTube, in my opinion. So Lord, we're on assignment. Church, do we say yes?
Yes.
We leave the outcome. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't want to try to figure out what it's going to look like because it may scare me. Or it may be smaller than I thought and then disappointment. Like, what if it's not 100 people that come in all at the same time and it's 5 people at a time? Well, now I'm disappointed. Or if it's like, Lord, you do whatever you want to do. Let's do it. So, Lord, we say yes. And Father God, we thank you for the assignment that you've given us. Lord, I thank you that this is the assignment that you've placed on us at Ascent. Lord, I thank you for the assignment of every church around here and what you've called them to do. Father God, we ask that you would strengthen them and the assignment that you've called them to, Father God. But Lord, we say yes to the assignment you've given us. And Lord, we just, maybe we have to rearrange, or you have to rearrange our hearts and our minds for us to think differently, that we will come and be on assignment and be ready, whatever that looks like, children's ministry, if that's just picking up and cleaning, if that's, it is going to be hugging and loving and being the father and mothers to people. But we say yes. Lord, we choose right now with our words to not be spectators. Come on, do you choose that? Because if you're sitting here going, I can't wait to watch all this unfold, you've already missed it. You've missed your assignment. It is not to watch. It is to be involved. And we say yes to that. And Lord, we ask that this would become, we've already said it's going to be a house of hope. But now, Lord, you're saying that this will be a house of grace to the nations. And Lord, you can't have hope without grace. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.